B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelleher and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour three, Felger and Maserati, just after 4 o'clock here on a Thursday. We're at the Garden in advance of the Bruins game tonight, but we are almost all Patriots Chiefs. I say almost all because we spent a considerable amount of time, and we'll continue to, on the Celtics and Kyrie Irving last night. We come to you on 98.5, that's the FM dial in Boston. The simulcast goes across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app. 98.5, the Sports Hub app, downloads to your smartphone perfectly. You can also get us on your smart speaker by just say, play 98.5, the Sports Hub. Again, Maz has like 17 of these throughout his house, so he just goes room to room.
Three.
Saying, play 98.5, the Sports Hub. So he has us all over the house by just saying that to the Alexa thing. So that's another way to get us.
Three.
Back to your phones, as promised. Here's Jeff in Phoenix on the Patriots. Hi, Jeff.
Thanks for taking the call, guys. Just kudos to Ted. When he was still playing for the Pats, I crossed paths with him one day training out at the LA Fitness out here. And he had a brief conversation with the dude. He's a genuinely good and humble guy. Really is.
Okay.
So good to see him. Good to see him on your show.
Very large.
Yeah, big dude. Yeah, no doubt. That's what, yeah. Anyway, but back to the game. I think looking back at the past lack of performance at some of the road playoff games, looking back at the game they played in Denver, the last game, I think the factor that was a factor in that game, and it's the same factor that plays in this game, was health. They went into that game with both tackles out of the lineup against the best pass rush team we've seen in a decade and almost pulled that game out on the road. The same thing happens this year. They're the healthiest they've ever been, I've ever seen, going into the playoffs, and that's going to be the reason why they win in Kansas City. That's.
I mean, just stop you. I think that's fair. They have great health right now.
I mean, they do, again, and this is where I thought, the bye helped them out going into the Chargers game. I just don't know whether it'll sustain itself.
It's not like they're limping into Denver. With some of these past times, they did.
No question. Oh, yeah. No, now look, I don't know, do we consider Gronk healthy?
Right, yeah. So that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Healthy enough to block.
So that's good point. Yeah, good point.
The other thing, too, real quick, yeah. I was thinking about this. That game, do you remember the offensive line at the time was coached by that Dave DiGuglielmo?
Yes, sure.
And they were a mess. And that's the toughest place to play in the league, especially in the playoffs. But
by the end of the year, they were okay.
Yeah.
And they did win the Super Bowl the year before with Googe.
But they were back on their heels. It felt like they were unprepared. He was fired that offseason. They're better coached this time around, obviously, with Scarnecchia.
Okay, so they were unprepared for the snap count stuff. That's for sure true. But in New Hampshire, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Hey.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah.
You're on the air, Robert. Go. Yeah.
Is this Felger?
This is Felger. What do you got, Robert?
Hey, all right. Listen, we know Pats are going to get over on Kansas City, and the Rams are going to beat New Orleans. So we're talking about a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl.
Oh, I love it.
What do you think? Going back to 2001, but he's first?
Well, I mean, here's what I think, that if I'm McVay and I do my walkthrough, I'll make sure the doors are closed and that no one's lurking around the stadium. I mean, that's where I start.
Yeah, that's probably a safe thing to do. Yeah.
No. If I do the walkthrough in a banquet room at the hotel where there's only two doors, and I know exactly who's in the room.
So I see where he's going. Little bookend finish to the Brady Belichick era, right?
That never occurred to me.
Me either. Yeah. It'd be kind of cool.
It actually crossed my mind last week, believe it or not. I didn't mention it on the air, though, because I'm too dumb to do that.
That means both road teams win on Sunday. When's the last time that happened?
Don't know.
I'll
tell you what, though. Part of me likes the Rams in that game because they lost to them the first time. Like, I think when you lose
to them... Oh, that doesn't factor. It doesn't.
Oh, I think it does.
It doesn't.
I do.
Maybe if they were in the same city and the fans had that sort of thing, but that's not even going to come from the fans. You know
the Rams
what I mean?
In New Orleans?
Maz, the Rams in New Orleans. No, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Rams beating New Orleans.
Oh! I thought you were talking about a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl rematch.
No, that was 15 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying you said which road teams are going to win. I say I like the idea of the Rams winning the game because they lost to New Orleans earlier in the year.
I disconnected the two because you just did say that I think the Rams are going to think about the last time or something like that.
I meant as it pertains to New Orleans.
Thank you.
No. They lost the game in New Orleans early in the year, 45-35. Now they face them again. And I don't know. I like the idea of that team second time facing an opponent having lost.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, look what it did for Philly. Philly lost that game 45-7.
What's it going to do?
They almost won that game.
What's it going to do for the Chiefs?
I think it's going to help Kansas City.
You do.
I do, and they're home. Of course. Like, I think there's an element there of Kansas City saying, you know, they got us the last time. This is how they got us. We're going to get them this time.
Billy in Rhode Island, what do you got for me?
How you doing, fella?
Good, Billy.
I love the question to Teddy, or more your perspective of how do you get Brady off his comfort level. I want to flip it around. I think the question is going to be, the question I have is, how do you get this quarterback from Kansas City uncomfortable? You know, we can say blitz, we can say this, but can we get to this kid where he's uncomfortable and doesn't run around here and go to the outside and all these things that he has capabilities of doing? How do we defend that quarterback?
I think you said it. I do not let him escape the pocket.
Keep him in the pocket. You make him hold the ball.
It is the polar opposite of last week. Last week is immobile quarterback, knock him off the spot, and you've won. This week, I think it's the exact opposite. Young, super mobile guy who, if you can make him stay in the pocket and patiently hit spots, what's he going to do? He might be good enough to do it because he's just freaking nasty. He's great. But I think if you let him start running around and breaking down plays and doing that, you're toast.
Well, and then what happens is you open yourself up to the big play. So, you know, you want to try to make him drive down the field. I would do what they did in the first half of that game. I don't know why they got away from it. It felt to me like they did anyway, and I'm going back to the regular season game. Confuse him with those rushes, those amoeba, you know, that amoeba front. Like, he won't know who's coming, and don't send more than four.
Okay, Spencer in Indiana has been waiting forever here to talk Celtics. Spencer, I don't want to leave you hanging. Go ahead.
It's all good. I'm in Kentucky now. No, I just wanted to say Kyle Lowry last night laying down under the hoop for like a full
pathetic
shot clock amount was unbelievable. I got so pissed off watching that at my hotel last night. And what's funny is Mr. Floppity Flop Flop himself landed on him, almost caused an injury. Yep. I coached my kids on Saturday. If one of my kids did that, I'd have go sit by your mother for the rest of the game. Unbelievable.
That fat dump Kyle Lowry, he's an embarrassment. And that thing laying underneath the hoop, you know, he didn't miss any time. They called timeout. We came back from the commercial, and he was out on the floor.
Of course he was. Yes, of course he. He's a load. He is an absolute load.
You are a freaking embarrassment, dude. But, you know,
he must be sucking wind, hauling that ass up and down the floor. He's got a giant ass.
There is one thing I like about him, though, and that is he is a nice little antidote to your guy, Marcus Smart, because Kyle Lowry will flop. He will, you know, he does the same thing, too. To draw the foul anytime someone breathes on him. He'll fly, you know, he'll fall on the ground. He'll do all that garbage stuff that Marcus Smart does. And it's just a little refreshing to me to see someone do it to you the way Smart does it to everybody else. So that's the one thing I'll say in his favor. But if the Raptors still have the choking dogs in them, it's him. It starts with him.
Well, he's one of the leftovers. I'm telling you, DeRozan was worse. DeRozan's worse.
We've got Dave and Wellesley. Hi, Dave.
If I have to hear about this Arctic polar vortex anymore, I'm going to launch myself off a building. First of all, it's sort of analogous to your travel point you made, Mike. These guys, I mean, everything's heated. The field's heated. Their seats are heated. The weather's a factor, of course, but it's sort of like, it's not like, you know, Ray and Revere calls in and talks about his high school days when he's slapping pads and it's 2 degrees. It's not the same. It's different. That's my Patriots point. I have a quick Celtics point. Isn't the evolution of this team fantastic? We went from the little engine that could to Kyrie Celtics, no Hayward, and now we are the quintessential, bitchy, stacked, talented team where Brad Stevens has become irrelevant. The evolution of this team is mesmerizing.
What two great points. I just disagree with you. When it gets to five degrees, which apparently it's not going to anymore, so whoops. It was still a good show yesterday anyway. If it gets to five, that is a factor. I don't care what era we're in or what the heated field seats, whatever. No. 20, you're fine. Five is different. The thing about the team morphing is absolutely true.
It is absolutely true. Again, this is sort of like, now, what do you do if you're the Celtics? You know, do you appease the star player? And ultimately, if he's the guy that wants to run the team, do you cave in and give him what he wants? Or do you try to keep your culture in place and your structure in place with your coach? My guess is...
Well, you just hit it. You know, whose team is it? Because to this point, it's been Brad's.
Yes. And now, you know, Kyrie wants it to be his. And you know what the Celtics are going to let him do? They're going to let it be his. right up until he signs, and then they're going to give it back to Brad. So that's my guess.
But it's a great point you made. Just look at the contrast. You know, the last time Kyrie was on the floor, that blow up in Orlando, you know, Brad calls the picket fence Skippy Magoo for the open man and Jason Tatum. And this game, it's like Kyrie just took the ball.
Yes, that's right. I mean, he takes one step out of the logo at half court and launches a 31-footer. Like, to me, that was almost like, you draw up your little plays. Those are cute. That's nice. You run him off a screen and him off the backside and that guy underneath. And then, you know, we pick and roll. And
I'm just going to shoot it from 31.
Right. I'm going to fire from here and drop it right in their kisser.
Jack in Framingham on the Pats. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Felgi, I was listening to your dissertation on how KC can beat the Pats. If we can just get word to Belichick with some of your ideas, I think it just might save the day. Hey, maybe Maz got Belichick's cell phone number and he could call him, okay? And by the way, I think KC's inexperienced. Pats win. KC's not experienced enough. Thanks for taking the
Jack.
Call.
Jack, was Philadelphia experienced last year?
They had some good players, okay? And the Patriots.
No. The answer's no.
He has experience.
No, were the Patriots experienced in 2001?
So I get your point, Maz, but Jesus, I listened to your, like, cerebral dissertations and how they can do this and they can do that. I think you're sucking wind. And besides, the pitch of your voice makes my dog run in circles and chase his tail. So give me a break.
It must be a smart dog, is what I would tell you. Nice way to change the subject. What happened to your experience take?
Defending the Patriots, though, to me it fascinates me because you just, like, what the Chargers did last week is just, it's like 101 on how to get killed.
Yes.
Laying back in a zone, giving Brady, Edelman, and the running back, and not pressuring up the middle. It's like.
And then the stubbornness not to change anything in that second half.
You know, Lynn has been around for 20 years.
Okay, but so here's my point. Is that an experience issue or is that just stupidity and stubbornness? In other words, they're two different things. So Brett Favre played in the league forever.
Oh, no. He
never changed in the playoffs.
With Lynn, I guess it's just stupidity or not attention to detail or just mindset. It's like, I know you like your scheme and you do what you do, but at some point you have to game plan the opponent.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I just think the experience thing goes up my tailpipe, okay? Because I think it's always like, you know, back in 01, yeah, experience doesn't matter. It's overrated. Now, all of a sudden, experience matters. And what I will tell you is it's got more to do with the makeup of the player and the person or the coach
right.
than it does with the actual experience. The Eagles had never been there. Doug Peterson went in, and he was fearless. And Nick Foles played his ass off, so the experience didn't matter. So with Patrick Mahomes, does the inexperience matter? I say no.
I mean, look, Andy Reid is...
And he still screws up the clock.
He's impeccably experienced. He's got tremendous experience. He's been in the league for 30 years, and he's a puddle at the end of these games. What does his experience do for him?
Exactly. So what I would tell you is that the Patriots being who they are and the fact that they've gone through games, I don't think it hurts them. I don't think it – but I don't think Patrick Mahomes' inexperience works against him. I think his makeup, if it's good, then he'll be good. If his makeup is bad, he'll be bad.
Okay, I have a question for the panel. I don't want the answer now. I want the answer on the other side. But the question for the panel and the question for Boston, frankly, is this. When we do our matchups and we give check marks, you know, who's, you know, positional groups, whatnot, who gets the check mark at quarterback? Simple question. Who gets the check mark at quarterback? We'll answer that question right after these words.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, I've got two quick ones for you, if you don't mind. You guys are three-point underdogs going into this game. It's the first time the Patriots have been an underdog with you at quarterback in 3 or 4 years now. Just how does that feel, being the underdog going into this one?
Doesn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about what our chances are. That's about it.
Doesn't
no more added comment to that.
Extra motivation at all?
I mean, if you're not motivated this week, you got a major problem. I mean, this is the week where you shouldn't have to put any extra in. This is what it's all about. You sign up any chance you get to play an AFC Championship game. So I don't care where, when, time, cold, weather, rain, blood, don't matter.
All right. It was Tom yesterday. I read this before, and I spat up my organic butter bulletproof coffee this morning. I wasn't even drinking it. The Pats are 3-point underdogs in this game, as we all know. You know the last time they were underdogs, period?
I said this, yeah.
Week 2 in 2015. At Buffalo, of all things.
I know.
What the hell?
So that was Brady's suspension year, right? No.
That was 14.
I don't know what the hell that is.
So,
what are we talking about?
I don't know. I read that. I clipped this. I mean, maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. I clipped this out of some story. I can't remember what story. The Patriots are consensus 3-point underdogs against the Chiefs. The first time that New England, with quarterback Tom Brady, has been an underdog since week 2 of the 2015 season against the Buffalo Bills.
No, that's not true. It's the first time since the Green Bay game in 2014. That's wrong.
Okay, I don't shoot the messenger. But I'm glad that's wrong because that makes no sense to me. Are you underdog to the Bills?
No. I know when I saw it too, maybe I saw it in the notes. That's probably where I saw it. Is it felt odd to me, and instinctively I thought, oh, that
2014
was...
at Green Bay.
Yeah.
So it's even worse. Meaning?
How longer, you mean?
Holy smokes, they haven't been an underdog?
Four and a half years.
Holy moly.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm not totally shocked by that, and at Green Bay makes sense. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers at home, they had a good team. Patriots lost the game. You know, Revis blew that play.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But I see, instinctively, when I saw Buffalo, I thought, oh, that was the Jacoby Brissett game. That's why.
No,
but it wasn't. It wasn't.
All right, so anyway, I asked before, who gets a checkmark at quarterback? Before I do that, I just want to see if we can build some consistency here on the program.
Uh-huh.
On Tuesday, with the big boy in our 10-question segment, I asked this following question, and I got these answers. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Rank in order the four remaining quarterbacks. Not career achievement. Not their Hall of Fame plaque. I'm talking right now how they're playing right now. Rank them in order. Big boy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Breeze, Mahomes, Brady, Goff.
Third. Mahomes, Breeze, Brady, Goff.
Third.
Mahomes, Brady, Breeze, Goff.
Second. Okay, so those were the answers.
Yes, Mahomes was first on everybody's list, yeah.
Ahead of Brady. Well, no, the big boy had Breeze.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, of course he did.
Okay, so, but everyone had Mahomes against Brady. Who gets to check a quarterback in this game?
Kansas City.
Mahomes. Kansas City, yeah.
Kansas City's passing game's better than yours. I mean, to me, again, I like the way you frame the question, though, you weasel. The whole idea is, oh, let me catch you now, because Brady's coming off a good game.
617-779-0985.
The game's in Kansas City. Kansas City's passing game's more explosive than you. Mahomes is mobile. There's a lot to defend there. Now, Brady in a big game? I mean, like, you know, the way we answered the question the other day, very clever by you, by the way.
How's this clever? It's a simple question. Everyone does it. Matchups. You know, who gets a check mark at each position? Who gets a check mark at coach? Who gets a check mark at defense? Who gets a check mark offensive line? Who gets a check mark at quarterback?
Yeah, I'll take Kansas City's passing game over anybody in the league right now.
Who gets a check mark at quarterback, Murray?
The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be all, no one should be all bleh about that. That's no disrespect to Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes, we're using the sample size of 2018. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of the league, the offensive player of the year. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, get the check mark in the quarterback.
Check mark. Okay.
Category, yeah.
I'd have given it to Breeze. I told you the other day, but I don't think Breeze has played great of late. So, to me, Mahomes has been great all year.
I'm just asking in this game. So, you know, and again, it's not in a vacuum. They're not going against the same defense.
Correct.
So, Mahomes versus the Patriots defense or Brady versus the Chiefs defense? Who do you got?
Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, Mahomes. Now, again, Brady, the presence that Brady has in a big game, you know, it's hard to pick against Brady. I'll give you that. I mean, I understand what you're... But to me, Kansas City's passing game is, like, historic.
Okay. How do you feel about that? Rob in Ohio. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I think I'll blow something up both your tailpipes. I think that Mahomes had a great year. I've been listening to Sports Radio 810.
Bob, you got to be quicker.
City.
Your point.
All right. Mahomes is going to have the worst game of his season tomorrow based on the Kansas City Chiefs' inexperience in the AFC title game because Kansas City is going bonkers.
Okay, let me stop you. So Kansas City's going nuts. They're beside themselves. The Chiefs have never been in this spot, and that's why Mahomes is going to have his worst game of the year. How do you feel about that?
I told you, the inexperience thing, I love this one. You know, yeah, they've never been there. Okay, was Philly? Had Philly ever been in the Super Bowl with Foles and Peterson before last year?
No, sir.
Did they look nervous?
No.
And the more importantly, just use the Chiefs as the example. Last week, it was the most un-Chiefs playoff thing I've seen since the early 90s when Montana was there. Block punt for the touchdown for the Colts. They had done nothing in the game until that point. They're in it all of a sudden. Every Chiefs fan in Arrowhead is thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. The following drive, Patrick Mahomes was clinical. And they drive down, 75 yards, 10 plays, they score, and that was it. Game over. That's as un-Chiefs as you've seen in the playoffs in that stadium in 20-some-odd years.
Look, I'm not telling you experience.
The moment's not too big.
Yeah, I'm not telling you experience and inexperience are zeros. Okay, they're obviously factors.
If someone has the right makeup, it doesn't matter if it's their first year or their 10th.
I mean, so to me, that's the thing is, and like there are so many examples you could cite. For example, Peyton Manning had all the experience in the world.
Did not excel in that spot.
You put him in a big spot, whether it was his first year or his 15th, it was the same thing.
Russell Wilson came in with no experience and was an NFL leader and winner at this level from day one.
Right, just again, I think a lot of that is who you are. Now, again, does it help to go through some of these things? Of course, yes. It's not a zero, right? But overall, if you are wired and conditioned to succeed, the experience can get overplayed.
If it's all about experience, then Andy Reid is all set to go on Sunday.
Exactly
you've got to think that Andy Reid's going to be great because he's got a tremendous amount of experience.
I mean, so if you're going to criticize Patrick Mahomes now that I think of it for inexperience.
You give Reid credit for his experience.
Exactly. Then you say, well, Andy Reid will figure out the clock because he's been through it.
Philip Rivers has been this, you know, been in this league forever, been in the big spots, tons of them. What did his experience mean last week?
Yeah, and it's not about, you know, obviously there has to be a willingness as you get older and more experienced to adapt and learn. But some people never do. That's all.
Greg in the car. Note Gus Bradley. Greg in the car. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I don't know about you. I've seen a few Chiefs games this year, and Patrick Mahomes does not look 6'3", as it says in the roster snub. I mean, he looks more like Doug Flutie than he does Ryan Leaf, even in the height category. Am I the only one missing this?
So
they're making it up?
No, go ahead.
No, they're making it up?
Well, typically teams do embellish. If someone's undersized, they give him an extra inch.
Do you think his size or his height's a problem?
No. I think he might not be as tall as his listed height. I think that's possible.
So I think that's possible, too. I'm telling you, I don't see it being a huge factor. The guy's having a ridiculous year. I'll tell you the other thing. I thought he was, I texted Murray about this over the weekend. Take a good look. When the camera's behind the offense and he's in the shotgun or not, take a good look at Mahomes' ass. It is huge. He's got a huge ass. So for a guy who's that fast and athletic, He's not built in the typical way. His ass is gigantic. His ass is bigger than Kyle Lowry.
Well, he's got a baseball player's ass. His dad was. He played, I think, shortstop.
A pitcher's ass.
Is it a muscular ass or is it?
It's thick. It's thick. It's a beefy ass.
A lot of lower body, power.
Seriously, like a power pitcher.
Because Kyle Lowry's just gross. He's overweight. He's a fat dump.
Okay, this guy's ass looks fat, but it's big. It's just a big ass.
So what's your...
Yeah, Lowry's like
I think
Jared
that's where his
Sullinger.
Arm strength comes
from. What's your implication?
Lowry's like a little Jared Sullinger. I think this is how he's able... This is how Mahomes is able to, you know, fling it sidearm.
A little Jared Sullinger.
Seriously, he's
a quarterback. And if I asked you this a month ago, it's really... I mean, not even the biggest Patriots honk is going to go Brady. You know, coming off the Pittsburgh game and then after the Buffalo game. Like, at that point, it's... You know, I mean, you're almost saying, how do we manage Brady? You know, how do we manage this passing game? So if it's a month ago, it's not even close. It's Mahomes 99% of the time. Well, now I'm asking you after a real great playoff game for Brady in that last game against the Jets. And so I guess really the question is, have those 2 weeks totally changed your mind? Totally flipped the script?
Well, listen, it gave me pause when you asked me the question.
You have to, don't you?
Yes, because, and again,
a big one is... experience. You know, Brady's been there so often.
Yeah, so again, I think it can be an asset for you, but I don't think inexperience is necessarily a negative. That maybe that's a better way to put it. And so, look, with Brady, again, in a big game, how do you sit there and say, I wouldn't take Tom Brady?
Okay, the last 2 weeks, is it the last two games, that's it? To totally flip the script and change your mind? We continue with that thought right after Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you see a noticeable difference between Tom against the Chargers and the way that he was playing maybe a few weeks ago against the Bills and the Steelers and the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, listen, every game's different. I mean, the guy again, arguably, is the best ever to play the game. And so he's at that position, is there going to be a game where maybe it doesn't all work right for him? Yeah, there's a game here or there that might do that, but for the most part, his overall body of work has been phenomenal, and he played great the other day.
That's Andy Reid on Tom Brady. Again, if I asked the question about the quarterback thing a month ago, it's not even close. Now I say, who gets a checkmark at quarterback? You got to think about it. You really got to think about it.
I mean, that, you know, the impact of that win last week against the Chargers, and really what I should say is the impact of the performance. Because, you know, had they won the game in ugly fashion, we wouldn't feel that way. The way they played, man, they did look like the Patriots of old.
We had Ted Johnson on earlier, and he tied it into the Jets game in Week 17, which we totally dismissed. But he added it together and said now he's on a run. It's not just one-off. It's like that's a trend. He's feeling it. He's hot. Do you agree with that?
Not entirely, no.
Because I just have a hard time putting stock in that Jets game.
I still think the bigger thing was the bye. I do. I still think that was the bigger thing. It allowed everyone to get healthy, gave them a week to really work on whatever issues they wanted without, you know, and maybe they did sort of cheat ahead and plan for San Diego a little bit. Regardless, I think 2 weeks gives you a chance to really reset. Really reset. And, man, it looked it. They were absolutely dynamite in that game.
Okay, we continue with your calls. Here's Cam and Taunton. What's the thought of the day, Cam?
Hey, guys, just to let you know, when that Kyrie three-pointer, Tatum was running back to the bench with his arms in the air, and Brown was flexing. So they were celebrating with him. They just didn't run out and greet him, just to give you that heads up. On the Pats, my plan is this. Jam Kelce at the line every snap, because he is a softish Charmin puss deep down. Do not let him get off the line clean. And he is that kind of bitchy little diva who will start whining to the refs and shut it down. He is AJ Green of tight ends. He's immensely talented, but he's soft. Do not let.
Agreed. Oops, sorry. Agreed 100%.
No, I think, and that's what they'll do. I don't have any huge concerns about how they're going to try to defend him. So, look, we looked it up yesterday in the four games against him that he's played. Basically, the numbers are 5 or 6 catches and 50 yards. He has one touchdown in 4 games. So, and I think that overall, I think that now they beat you once here. I don't remember if that was the game he had the touchdown or not. But I think overall it's part of the reason why you've had success against them. He's a key guy to me. I think you take him out on third down and it gives Mahomes.
Hill and Hunt have been the guys that have killed this team. It's really never been Kelce.
And because they make a point of it. And Cam's right. You can physical him out of the game. Absolutely. So, Kelce's the least of my worries. I mean, really, they've shown they can take him out. I'm pretty sure they'll take him out this time, too. Eddie in the truck. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hi, guys. I just want to get your take on the Saints versus the Rams. I think the Rams are going to lose to the Saints. Breeze is going to run all over them. I also think Brady's got nothing on the road versus Kansas City. What's your take? Thanks.
Okay. The road thing, again, Brady dismissed as just one-off. Each individual situation was its own entity. They didn't have problems on the road. They just had a problem week two in Detroit and a problem, week two in Jacksonville, week three in Detroit. They're all independent entities. We'll see. I guess this will determine it, won't it? Who do you like in the other game?
Look, it's hard to pick against home teams. Instinctively, I say home teams, but I am a big believer in that. Give a, a losing team a second crack at an opponent, which is what the Rams are going to get here. And I think that that is a huge, you know, you get pissed off when you lose to a team the first time. The next time you line up, you go, no, we're going to beat them this time.
I still don't believe in Jared Goff. Give me the Saints.
So I don't either. I lean New Orleans at home. But the last time they were in there, the Saints opened it up big on them. The Rams came back, and the Saints ultimately won the game 45-35. I think you're going to get a nip-and-tuck game the whole way.
Jordan in Florida. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, how do you guys think the Patriots secondary matches up with the Chiefs receivers?
So, well.
Yeah, not horribly.
Well, I do. I mean, the speed of Hill, no one has a match for, but I don't think anyone, you know, who's... Is he the fastest guy in the league?
I would say so, yes.
No, I mean, like, by numbers and statistically,
like,
he is.
They've actually measured it. Yeah. He is. So the Pats don't have anyone who can run with them, but no one does. So, like, to say Gilmore one-on-one with Hill, he's going to get run past, but the Pats won't leave him on an island. But then again, the last time they kept safeties back and Hill still outran him. So Hill's a problem. So does he get the check mark? Sure. The rest of them? Shouldn't you be able to pretty much contain the rest of them?
Yes.
I mean, the only other guy that would be, I'm sorry to cut you off, that could be a threat is Sammy Watkins. And I know, like, I've brought him up before, but he's been pretty good for them. But still, he's
big body, slow.
But he's like 6'1", 6 feet. So it's not like he's super tall. The only guy that's out.
I thought he was bigger than that.
No, he's like 6 foot. The only guy that's tall is Chris Conley, and he stinks. So I don't think you have to worry about him.
I mean, to me, it feels like J.C. Jackson should get Watson. I suppose Gilmore ends up on Tyreek Hill, but you're going to have to give him help because, as you said, there's just how do you match that? I mean, the guy can run by anybody.
Right. So
maybe you try to play him physical at the line. You know, Hill's not the biggest guy in the world. He's strong, but he's not big.
So this is where I give Reed credit. He's just not going to put him out on the line all night to get the crap kicked out of him. Like, Reed's smart like this. He'll line up in the backfield. He'll line him up offset. He'll send him in motion. You know, there's a lot of coaches who don't.
Hand off 3 yards.
Well, no, not just all right, exactly. No, but he'll get Hill free from press coverage, or he'll do his best to. As opposed to some coaches, they'll just put him there, like the Colts. The Colts used to. It was the same thing every play. It was and they never even switched sides. If my memory served, it was
Harrison,
Reggie Wayne, and Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison on this side, Reggie Wayne on this side. They never motioned. They never flip sides. So it's like it was an open invitation for the Patriots to send Law and or even Rodney Harrison because they knew exactly where they were going to be and just beat the crap out of them. If my memory serves, that's the way they did it. Reed's not like that. Reed will move him around, and that's where Reed will come in. So I think he'll get Hill free. Question is, does Mahomes get it to him and what happens after and all of that?
See, I disagree with Ted Johnson quickly. He said he doesn't think they'll throw to Williams. I think Damian Williams, a running back. I think they will. I think you'll see them.
Have they?
My recollection is they have. He has done everything Kareem Hunt has done, I think, in that offense. So now I'm not saying he does it as well because I think Hunt's a better player. But they haven't really skipped a beat all that much. Again, in one of their losses this year, they failed to score 30. They scored 28. That was the 29-28 game to the Chargers.
So you're saying they've changed the running back to an undrafted guy who's on the street.
Oh, please. You haven't.
And it didn't really make a difference.
Yeah, no, it completely hasn't made a difference. That's why they're in a tractor pull against the Baltimore Ravens at home towards the end of the year. They've missed Hunt.
So in the game against Indianapolis, he had 5 catches on 6 targets. Damian Williams did.
Interesting.
So he had 30 touches in that game.
So you're saying they were just interchangeable.
And there were two other games that he played. The Charger game, he had 6 catches. The next game at Seattle, he had 7.
Huh.
The Baltimore game, he had 4.
Interesting.
I'm not entertaining this.
So you just pick up any guy off the street?
Yeah. Just some bum off the street. C.J. Anderson and Kareem Hunt are the same guy. It's not going to make a difference.
Well, it just felt like their production was the same. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Maz is just reading the numbers.
I'm just telling you, I don't think they miss a ton. Hunt's a better player. He's stronger, you know, probably better in short yardage, can break tackles better.
It's probably about the scheme, him getting open or them blocking it, and that's, you know.
But they haven't missed a ton there.
Just put anyone serviceable back there and you're fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Same thing. They're all the same. All the backs, just one same guy.
I never would have thought of that.
Yep.
I never thought of that on my own. Thank you for pointing that out, Maz, I mean. we've got a long commercial-free segment. We'll continue with your Patriots calls and reset our thoughts on Kyrie Irving. This guy coming up in just a minute.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
At
the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom, how much do you enjoy being the underdog and that being, how much of a motivating factor is that for you? It doesn't happen very much.
You know, I don't think about it too much, you know, what people might say or think, but we're playing against a very good football team. They're the first seed for a reason. They've had a great season. We're going to have to go into a really tough environment and play our best football. So it should be a, you know, it's a great opportunity for us, and hopefully we can take advantage of it.
Tom Brady yesterday. As we continue the ramp up to the AFC title game in Kansas City. Chris in Canton, what are your thoughts for us today?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say in 2016, the Patriots had to travel to Denver. They lost 20-18 and got dominated by a defense in there, and it wasn't even that close. Do you think that it's tougher to travel to Denver than it is KC? I like the Pats in this one. And only because KC doesn't have that juggernaut defense. Your thoughts?
Okay, I think that's fair. I think in terms of road environments, for the Patriots, I go Miami 1, Denver 2, Kansas City 3. Kansas City's on the list.
I mean, they're all right there.
The Pats have had very little success in Kansas City for a reason. Kansas City does not have the altitude that Denver does. So that's what, and maybe not as good of a team, obviously. Miami, I can't explain to you. They've sucked, and you still can't win down there. Now, if it were a playoff game down there, would you be able to bury that crap? I'd like to think so. But Miami's just on the list because of the sheer numbers of it. They just can't win down there. But Kansas City's a close second behind Denver in terms of road environments. And beyond crowd noise, they don't – well, I'll give you two facts. Crowd noise, and it's grass. They're used to playing on turf, and they haven't had a tremendous amount of success on grass. And obviously, KC's a grass field. So – it's a factor. Make no mistake. If this were, well, you think if it were a neutral site, the Chiefs would be favored by even more?
So I'll tell you what, I did the math wrong. But it would be about 7 points, 7 or 8 points. So initially the other day I said double digits, and I think that that's too high. I went back and did the math again, and I screwed up the math the first time. And that's just going purely by numbers now, right?
Points, home, 4 points again?
Yeah, home scoring average versus road scoring average. You know, the Patriots' road scoring average.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, blah, 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 blah. Be somewhere around a touchdown. And so, you know, they're not enormously apart, the two teams. I just think that that environment, again, if you look at numbers, and then this obviously has a bias to opponent and everything else. I know there was something on the Globe and that today. The Kansas City defense at home has been almost twice as good as it is on the road. Now, their opponents haven't been as difficult there, so that's part of it. I also think some of it is they get the lead, the place gets loud, the other team can't hear its offensive signals, they pin their ears back, and now they're coming at you. And so it plays to their strength, right? I think there's all of that. You know, if the Patriots fall behind in this game, they're going to have a hard time coming back, I think.
Rank the four remaining quarterbacks again in order, please.
It is Patrick Mahomes, it is Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and then the stiff in L.A.
So I went, before last weekend, I went Mahomes, Brees, Brady.
How about now?
Goff. I'd move Brady back up and had a Breeze.
Okay. So
I think big of you, Mass.
No, it's huge. I know. Mahomes is, to me, the Kansas City passing game is still the best in football.
Who gets a check mark at quarterback? Peter in Arlington doesn't like your lists, I don't think. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, guys. So I want you to rethink this list, but under the given scenario here. Elimination game, 2 minutes left in the game or less. Who's behind the center? In that order.
Okay, but that's a, but that's a little bit of a different, you know.
Is it?
Again,
I mean, so that's fair. Okay. Reset the question. Rank the four. 2 minutes left. Down four. You have the ball. You need to go down and score a touchdown. Rank them.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Mahomes, Goff.
That's what I would do, too. Yeah, that's the order. Yeah,
to get a touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, to me, in those spots.
I'm still Mahomes one.
To me, in those spots, I'll take a guy that has done it in the Super Bowl. You know, basically.
He's done it and not done it.
Well, that's right.
The last time he was in that spot, he fumbled.
Yeah.
So as much as I've, you know, defended Mahomes because, again, that drive after the block punt last week, and it showed me something.
I mean, he had a chance at Pittsburgh and didn't do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mahomes in some of these bigger games, at least these road games, here in that first half, at Seattle. What was the other one? At L.A. Like, he got tight.
At. He's home. He's not at anywhere.
Still, I don't know, like, we'll see. I mean, this is the game of the biggest stakes here. So, I don't know. I just think there's some Favian tightness still in that kid.
I mean, to me, the way to beat that kid is to confuse him. See, his athletic ability is so good.
Steve, he might be like Favre in that he's a gunslinger. Favre wasn't tight. Favre was too loose, man. I'm going to go make a play.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
So it's too loose. Just, it's not too tight.
See, that's what I think this kid's problem is.
Yeah.
Too loose.
I'm describing it incorrectly because it just feels like I'm Patrick Mahomes. I can make this throw.
Exactly.
Interception.
Exactly right.
Almost too confident.
Cavalier.
Too fearless.
Late at L.A., that's definitely what that was. He's just chucking it up like, I can make this play, and he's throwing into coverage. Like, what the hell are you doing?
I mean, at some point, like, courage, balls, morphs into stupidity.
Yeah, it does.
Like, you know, there's a line there where at some point it's brave and it's courageous, and at another point it's stupid.
Anthony on Cape Cod, go.
How you doing? Real quick, the Bills game week 2, 2015, that was a Rex Ryan game. They used Deion Lewis basically as a wide receiver, and they only threw the ball after the game. Rex Ryan made a comment, are these guys ever going to run the ball? So they might have been underdog in that game, but I just want to talk about the weather and do you want a controlled environment versus the nasty weather game. And I agree with Maz 100%. I absolutely love it. This is football. I agree with what Ted Jensen said. It's all about toughness, physical and mental. It's about balls. Who's got the bigger pair? We're going to find out. But it's about situational football, which who do you trust in that situation, Belichick or Reed? And Brady or Mahomes, who's never done it. You got to, you know, and the one thing I'm worried about is the crowd noise in terms of you get behind, the crowd's loud, the penalties, the mistakes. Who can avoid making the mistakes in this game?
So that's a big one, and that definitely is a Patriots' favor.
Yeah, Clint Blakeman.
The snake. I do think, though, you know, and here's an interesting, you know, study that we should probably do. But, like, the last time the Patriots were on the road, they committed 14 penalties. So I would love to see their home road penalty numbers because – you know, now Hogan had a false start last week, right? But otherwise, for the most part, not a huge issue. But when you get him in there, does some of those guys rattle? They can't hear the signals, and they don't remember what the snap count is coming out of the huddle. And then all of a sudden now guys are jumping and you're making mistakes. I don't know. Like, you know, Marcus Cannon, do I have faith in Marcus Cannon with a, you know, a silent snap count? I don't.
All right.
Just real quick, I stand corrected. The Patriots were a 1-point underdog in 2015.
At that Bills game.
At Bills, yeah.
So what I had was right.
You were right. Yeah, found it on footballlocks.com. A couple of people emailed me. So, yep, at Buffalo.
How in the world does anyone make the Patriots an underdog at Buffalo?
Well, this guy writes, the Bills were 1-point favorites week 2 in Buffalo. It was Rex's first season as a coach. They had a talented defense led by Mario Williams back when he tried. They had just traded for LeSean McCoy. Tyrod Taylor won the starting job. Edelman got hurt in week 1. I guess all this plus home field was enough for a 1-point swing. Yours truly, a sad Bills fan.
What was the final? Do we know?
42-17.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Do you guys want to get back to Kyrie?
Please.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
I'm in.
This guy. Oh, this guy. Oh, this guy's insufferable.
He really is the definition of a blowhard.
Insufferable. Insufferable Kyrie Irving. And if you just missed it last night, folks, we'll play the sound coming out of the top of the hour. And basically, after that wretched road trip, okay, pushing match on the bench in Miami, Kyrie blows up in Orlando after he doesn't get the final shot, screams at his teammates on the floor, goes on a diatribe about the young players after the game. Then he sits mysteriously the next night in Brooklyn, mental health day, maybe a suspension, who knows. I do know it's not a thigh bruise because he looked pretty good last night. And last night he goes off. They have a big win over Toronto, and he reveals what? What did he do Saturday night after that loss in Orlando and he didn't get the last shot? What did he do? He'll tell you in his own words right when we come back after the update. Don't go anywhere. No commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.